Good evening and welcome to Nightlights. This is David Brent Johnson, and for the next hour we'll be listening to Charles Mingus's jazz collaborations with poet Langston Hughes, monologuist Gene Shepherd, and actor Melvin Stewart. It's Word from Mingus tonight on Nightlights.
I said to my baby, baby, take it slow. I can't, she said, I can't. I got to go. There's a certain amount of traveling in a dream deferred. Lulu said to Leonard, I want a diamond ring. Leonard said to Lulu, you won't get a dad blame thing. A certain amount of nothing in a dream deferred. Daddy, 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 all I want is you. You can have me, baby, but my loving days is through. A certain amount of impotence in a dream deferred. Three parties on my party line, but that third party, Lord, ain't mine. There's liable to be confusion in a dream deferred. From river to river, uptown and down, there's liable to be confusion when a dream gets kicked around. You talk like they don't kick dreams around downtown. I expect they do, but I'm talking about Harlem to you. Harlem. 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 Thank you.
Charles Mingus and Langston Hughes from their Verve album Weary Blues, recorded in March of 1958. Charles Mingus on bass, backed by Horace Parlin on piano, Jimmy Nepper on trombone, Shafi Hadi on tenor sax, and Kenny Dennis on drums. Weary Blues, an album that featured Hughes reading with a group arranged and conducted by jazz writer Leonard Feather on one side and a group led by Mingus and Parlin on the other. Charles Mingus's spoken word collaborations with other artists are the focus of this Nightlights program. Mingus was always someone who had a broad interest in the arts, in painting, in theater, and in poetry, and he had written his own spoken word piece, The Chill of Death, as a teenager in the late 1930s. In the mid-1950s, the beat poetry movement was beginning to flourish, and jazz musicians and poets were experimenting with convergences of their work. Mingus recorded several such convergences himself, and he also incorporated them into live performances with his jazz workshop. We're going to start off with one he did in 1957 with actor Melvin Stewart, a piece called Scenes from the City. The piece was written by actor Lonnie Elders with assistance from poet Langston Hughes, and it was performed by actor Melvin Stewart, who had played Hughes's legendary Harlem character Simple in the play Simply Heavenly. One writer has described it as a depiction of black sensitivities in a hostile environment. Here's Charles Mingus and Melvin Stewart from the 1957 Bethlehem LP, a modern jazz symposium of music and poetry, with Scenes from the City on Nightlights.
Right back where I was yesterday, the day before and the day before that, sitting on a high bar stool holding my dreams up to the sound of jazz music. I live uptown. Why, I don't exactly know, because I'm always downtown. And it seems I'm always with the blues. I talk to myself in public places and hum jazz tunes. I love jazz. But soon I have to make it uptown to that old furnished room of mine. I guess that's why I stall so long downtown. I like the cafe bars down here, especially the ones across the street from the theaters. I once wanted to be an actor, but this is the closest I'll ever get to it. I couldn't even afford a seat next to the ceiling. That's jazz music you're listening to. Now, I've got 15 cents between me and starvation, and I'll probably have to walk it all the way uptown because I'm living on that music again. You see, I love jazz music. That's pretty music, boy. Pretty, but it ain't really pretty. It ain't like girls in the magazines. It's beautiful. It's terribly beautiful. Say like a woman you might have been with last night, or say an hour ago. Sad, huh? Sort of reminds me of that old building I live in. And my room looking out over Harlem's waters. Now catch this. Dig. I wish I could just relax and be cool. But it's just like my mother used to say, it don't cost nothing to wish.
All right. I want everybody.
Now here comes old Bob with a mouth full of jive. And I know he's coming right here. I hear you talking, Jim, but ain't no visitors this morning. Oh, man, my record player's in the pawn shop. I stopped talking so loud before you wake my old landlady up and she remembers I haven't paid her in 3 weeks.
What kind of landlady you got, man?
Oh, who cares? Just go, man, go. And let me be cool. Please let me be cool.
Hey, Jenny. Come on, get up.
Man, you ought to see this old room of mine.
Hello? Look here, baby. I come every time I answer the phone. When I'm at home, don't nobody say nothing.
Every morning I wake up and look around me, I keep thinking. I must have died 100 times during the night. And I wonder about that, Jack. Yeah, I wonder. Like how I ever got here. Cause I don't have any plans of dying that fast. Madam, may I please get in there soon? May I please get in there? I have to wash up too. Oh, woman, come on out of there and let me in.
I guess I'm the only man in the world who wakes up to jazz music in the morning. Well, I guess I can't exactly say why, but I find it soft, like a hymn. I had to prove that to my mother when I was back home and I woke up in the morning time digging sounds. Moms didn't dig. She just didn't go for it. Bird, Bud, Miles, JJ, Jimmy Blanton, and Max, she couldn't see it. Morning, afternoon, night, or any time. That is, until I played her some Monk one night late, round about midnight time. I played her some Monk, Thelonious that is, and now Mom spends many of her nights in Tunisia. And somewhere along the line, the blues walked in. Thank you.
Walked in, man. Walked in and started up them third floor steps. Stumbled and decided to fall up, not down. Yeah. Early in the morning time. Late in the night time, I'm with the blues. And sometimes I'm laughing and having myself a ball. And that's why Bob keeps telling me that there ain't no blues up there in my old room. That sometimes it dances and struts like a woman. And skips and hops like children playing ball. And maybe that's why I always manage a change once in a while. And with the blues, whether I like it or not, I love the idea of living. And sometimes it's tough, man. I wonder why it's so tough for me. And I don't mean tough like when Miles is grooving with his horn. I mean like when I can't make that morning meal. When I'm ducking the landlady. When everything I have is in hock. Like when I think. When I think about all the places I haven't been and won't ever likely get to. But I think maybe I will. Yeah, that's the way I think. Like that song says, the sun's gonna shine in my back door someday. All the way up to the bottom of my stomach and up again. That's the way I feel. Not pretty, beautiful like a woman, a real woman.
Actor Melvin Stewart reading Scenes from the City from the 1957 Charles Mingus Bethlehem LP, a modern jazz symposium of music and poetry, a piece written by actor Lonnie Elders with a great deal of assistance from poet Langston Hughes. Melvin Stewart would go on to perform with Mingus at the Half Note Club in New York City and at the 1958 Great South Bay Festival. Mingus there on bass with Danny Richmond on drums, Jimmy Nepper on trombone, Shafi Hadi on saxophone, Clarence Shaw on trumpet, and Bob Hammer on piano. Langston Hughes, the legendary African-American poet who emerged during the Harlem Renaissance, was enjoying a good spell in the late 1950s after having survived an appearance before Joe McCarthy in the U.S. Senate in 1953, where he was forced to address his history of involvement with left-wing politics. He had just published his second memoir, I Wonder As I Wander, and was still active and vital in the cultural scene. He'd seen Mingus's jazz workshop perform at the Newport Jazz Festival in 1956, and he'd written a glowing review for the black newspaper, The Chicago Defender. Hughes had long been a jazz and blues fan, of course, and he'd incorporated instrumental music into his readings as early as 1926. Early in his career, he had written, "Let the blare of Negro jazz bands and the bellowing voice of Bessie Smith singing blues penetrate the closed ears of the colored near intellectuals until they listen and perhaps understand. Let the smug Negro middle class turn from their white, respectable, ordinary books and papers to catch a glimmer of their own beauty. We younger Negro artists who create now intend to express our individual dark-skinned selves without fear or shame. If white people are pleased, we are glad. If they are not, it doesn't matter." In March of 1958, he recorded some of his poems with a group led by Mingus and pianist Horace Parlin. And when the album came out, he asked to be billed as the original jazz poet. Hughes liked Mingus's band better than other contemporary ensembles, such as the Modern Jazz Quartet, because he said, "Mingus is modernist, but with a beat." Here's Langston Hughes with Charles Mingus from the Verve LP Weary Blues on Nightlights.
Consider me a colored boy, once 16, once 5, once 3, once nobody, now me. Before me, Papa, Mama, Grandpa, Grandma, so on back to original Paw, spelled G-O-D. A capital letter there, God being mystery. Consider me, colored boy downtown at 8, sometimes working late, overtime pay to sport away or save, or give my sugar for the things she needs. Consider her, my sugar. She works too, has to. One don't make enough for all the stuff it takes to live. Forgive me what I lack, black, caught in a crack that splits the world in two, from China by way of Alabama to Lenox Avenue. Lenox Avenue. Consider me, on Friday the eagle flies, Saturday, laughter, a bar, a bed. Then Sunday, prayers, syncopate glory. Then Monday, Monday comes 8, to work late maybe. Consider me, descended also from the mystery. Consider me. Don't let your dog curb you. Don't let your dog curb you. Curb your doggy like you ought to do, but don't let that dog curb you. You may play folks cheap, act all rough and tough, but a dog can tell when you're full of stuff. Them little old mutts look all scraggly and bad, but they got more sense than some people ever had. Cur dog, vice dog, carry blue. Just don't let your dog curb you. Thank you. I play it cool and dig all jive. That's the reason I stay alive. My motto, as I live and learn, is dig and be dug in return. Well, that's the motto of a hep cat. But unfortunately, this particular hep cat didn't live very long. He was cut down in the prime of his youth by the long scythe of too much good timing. One night, because in Harlem we have night funerals, this young man was going down Lenox Avenue in a box, a long box, dead in there, dead in there. Sometimes a night funeral going by carries home a cool bop daddy. Hearse and flowers guarantee he'll never hype another patty. It's hard to believe, but dead in there, he'll never lay a hype nowhere. He's my ace boy, gone away. Wake up and live, he used to say. Squares who couldn't dig him, plant him now, out where it makes no diff, no how. When you turn the corner and run into yourself, then you know that you have turned all the corners that are left. Good evening, Daddy. I know you've heard the boogie-woogie rumble of a dream deferred, trilling the treble and twining the bass into midnight ruffles of catgut lace. If this radio was good, I'd get KDQ and see what Count Basie's playing new. If I had me some money, I'd stroll down the street and jive some old broad I might meet. Or if I wasn't so drowsy, I'd look up Joe and start a skin game with some chumps I know. Or if it wasn't so late, I might take a walk and find somebody to kid and talk. But since I got to get up at day, I might as well put it on in the hay. I can sleep so good with you away. House is so quiet. Listen at them mice. Do I see a couple, or did I count twice? Doggone little mouses, I wish I was you. A human gets lonesome if there ain't two. Big Ben, I'm gonna bust you bang upside the wall. gonna hit you in the face and let you fall. Alarm clock here ringing so damn loud, you must think you got to wake up a crowd. You ain't got to wake up nobody but me. I'm the only one's got to pile out in the cold and make this early morning time, trying to keep body and soul together in my big old down-home frame. Say, you know I believe I'll change my name, change my color, change my ways, and be a white man the rest of my days. I wonder if white folks ever feel bad, getting up in the morning lonesome and sad. Why should it be my loneliness? Why should it be my song? Why should it be my dream deferred overlong? Good morning, Daddy. I was born here, he said. Watched Harlem grow until colored folks spread from river to river across the middle of Manhattan. Out of Penn Station, dark tenth of a nation, planes from Puerto Rico and holds of boats, Chico, up from Cuba, Haiti, Jamaica, in buses marked New York. From Georgia, Florida, Louisiana, Arkansas, to Harlem, Brooklyn, the Bronx, but most of all to Harlem, dusky sash across Manhattan. I've seen them come, dark, wondering, wide-eyed, dreaming. Out of Penn Station, but the trains are late. The gates open, yet there are bars at each gate. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or does it explode?
Langston Hughes with Charles Mingus from the 1958 Verve LP Weary Blues. We heard Consider Me, The Stranger, Midnight Stroll, Backstage, and Dream Montage. Horace Parlin on piano, Jimmy Nepper on trombone, Shafi Hadi on tenor sax, Mingus on bass, and Kenny Dennis on drums. Langston Hughes, 56 years old at the time of that recording, his voice still sounding very youthful and vibrant. He performed live with Mingus on Sunday afternoons for a month at New York City's Village Vanguard around the time that this LP was recorded. And one poem that he wrote for those performances was quoted in Gene Santoro's Mingus biography, Myself When I Am Real. Wait a minute, river. Wait a minute, steamboat of time. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where have you gone? Hear my old piano on the way. Hear my barrel house horn down by the docks. Hear my trombone on a holiday. Hear that old bass man play.
Thank you.
Hughes would go on to do readings with groups led by saxophonist Ben Webster and pianist Randy Weston, and Weston would later perform at Hughes' funeral in 1967. According to Gene Santoro, Mingus eventually began to feel that Hughes' poetry was a bit old-fashioned and too lyrical, and became more interested in contemporary beat poets such as Kenneth Patchen, with whom Mingus performed, and Kenneth Rexroth. Another contemporary of Mingus's with whom he collaborated was Gene Shepherd. We know Gene Shepherd today best as the author and narrator of the 1983 holiday classic A Christmas Story, but in the 1950s he was a hip New York City radio personality and monologuist. In early 1957, he recorded a piece that Mingus had written called The Clown. Mingus had a fascination with clowns, and in this piece he used the clown as a metaphor for the struggling artist and his attempt to connect with his audience. Shepherd improvised some of the piece, and he changed the ending. Here's Gene Shepherd and Charles Mingus in 1957 with The Clown on Nightlights.
This clown, and he was a real happy guy, a real happy guy. He had all these greens and all these yellows and all these oranges bubbling around inside of him, and he had just one thing he wanted in this world. He just wanted to make people laugh. That's all he wanted out of this world. He was a real happy guy. Let me tell you about this clown. He used to raise a sweat every night out on that stage and just wouldn't stop. That's how hard he worked. He was trying to make people laugh. He used to have this cute little gimmick where he had a seal follow him up and down a stepladder, blowing Columbia the Gem of the Ocean on a B-flat Sears Roebuck Model 1322A plastic bugle, a real cute act. But they didn't laugh. You know, a few little things here and there, but not really. And he was booking out in all these tank towns, playing the Rotary Club and the Kiwanis Club and the American Legion Hall. And he just wasn't making it. And he had all these wonderful things going on inside of him, all these greens and yellows and all these oranges. He's a real happy guy. And all he wanted to do was to make people laugh. That's all he wanted out of this world, was to make people laugh. And then something began to grow. Something that just wasn't good began to grow inside of this guy. It's a funny thing. And something began to trouble this clown. You know, little things. Little things once in a while would happen that would make that crowd begin to move. But they were never the right things. Like, for example, the time the seal got sick on the stage, all over the stage, and the crowd just broke up. You know? Little things like that. And they weren't supposed to be in the act, and they weren't supposed to be funny. This began to trouble him, began to bother him. This little thing began to grow inside. All those greens and all those oranges, all those yellows, they just weren't as bright as they used to be. And all he wanted to do was to make that crowd laugh. That's all he wanted to do. There was this one night in Dubuque when he was playing this Rotary Club. All these dentists, all these druggists, all these postmen sitting around, and they were a real cold bunch. Nothing was happening. He was leaving the stage when he stumbled over his ladder and fell flat on his face, just flat on his face. And he stands up, he's got this bloody nose. He looks out at the crowd, and that crowd is just rolling on the floor. He's just knocked them flat out. This begins to trouble him even more. And he begins to see something. He begins to see something. About here, things began to change, but really change. Not the least of which, our clown changed his act. Bought himself a set of football pads, a yellow helmet with red stripes. Hired a girl who dropped a 5-pound sack of flour on his head every night from maybe 20 feet up. Oh man, what a bit. That just broke him up every night. But not like Dubuque. And all those colors, all those yellows, all those reds, all those oranges, a lot of gray in there now, a lot of blue. And all he wanted to do was to make this crowd laugh. That's all he wanted out of this world. They were laughing, all right. Not like Dubuque, but they were laughing. And the dough started to come in. He was playing the big towns, Chicago, Detroit. And then it was Pittsburgh one night. Real fine town, Pittsburgh, you know. About 3/4 way through his act, a rope broke. Down came the backdrop, right on the back of the neck. And he went flat. And something broke. This was it. It hurt way down deep inside. He tried to get up. He looked out at the audience. And you should have seen that crowd. They was rolling in the aisles. This was bigger than Dubuque. This was bigger than Dubuque. He really had him going. Well, this was it. This was the last one. This was the last one. Yeah. This was the last one. He knew now. Man, he really knew now. But it was too late. And all he wanted was to make this crowd laugh. Well, they were laughing. But now he knew. That was the end of the clown. And you should have seen the bookings coming. Man, his agent was on the phone for 24 hours. The Palladium. MCA. William Morris. But it was too late. He really knew now. He really knew. William Morris sends regrets.
Charles Mingus with The Clown, recorded in February of 1957. Gene Shepherd, the narrator, and he improvised quite a lot on that written piece that Mingus gave him. He also changed the ending. In the original ending, Mingus had the clown shooting himself and had the audience laughing, thinking that it was part of his act. Shepherd, who would go on to write and narrate the 1983 holiday movie classic, A Christmas Story. On that track, also, we heard Shafi Hadi on tenor saxophone, Jimmy Nepper on trombone, Wade Legg on piano, and Danny Richmond on drums from the Atlantic LP, The Clown. We'll conclude Night Lights with a spoken word piece that Mingus wrote as a teenager in 1939. He supposedly did a recording of it for Columbia in the 1940s, backed by a large ensemble, but it was considered a little too strange to release. Mingus eventually recorded it again for Columbia, and it came out many years later on the 1972 album Let My Children Hear Music, Charles Mingus and The Chill of Death on Nightlights.
Chill of death As she clutched my hand, I knew she was coming, so I stood like a man. She drew up closer, close enough for me to look into her face, and then began to wonder, hadn't I seen her some other place? She beckoned for me to come closer, as if to pay an old debt. I knew what she wanted. It wasn't quite time yet. She threw her arms about me, as many women had done before. I heard her whisper, "You'll never cheat me. Never anymore." Darkness and nothingness clouded my mind. I began to realize death was nothing to fear, but something sweet and kind. I pinched to see if I was dreaming, but failed to find bodily form. I then began to realize death had worked her charm. Taking myself of nothingness, I chose a road to walk. I noticed death's pleasance with no one to stop me to talk. I remembered stories of heaven as I visioned the glow ahead. Two roads lay waiting for me to choose one now that I was dead. One road was dark. I could not see clearly up its long stretched highway. The other road was golden and glowing and shining as bright as day. I then remembered stories of pearly gates, golden streets, or however those stories were told. I knew I'd reach heaven on this highway. If not, I'd have the gold. I took one footstep, feeling safe and acting bold. Suddenly, I realized my mistake. My chosen road turned black, bittery, and white cold. No longer was it golden glowing or heaven at its end. White hot flames were blazing. I saw the devil with his grin. I had taken but one footstep, so I turned to hurry back. But there a sound wall waited through, not a door, nor a crack. Finally, coming to my senses, I walked on to my hell. For long before death had called me, my end was planned. Planned, but well.
I closed with The Chill of Death from Charles Mingus's 1972 album, Let My Children Hear Music. Thanks for tuning in this edition of Nightlights. You can hear many previous Nightlights programs on our website at wfiu.org/nightlights. Nightlights is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. I'm David Brent Johnson, wishing you good listening for the week ahead.